Coming up on this episode of the Wampus Lair Podcast, Carl and Jason close 2013 out with a bang as they review the biggest news of the year, what happened in Star Wars and in the lair, with a few tangents thrown in for good measure. So sit back, relax, and watch out for Wampus.
Welcome to the Wampa's Lair podcast. Deep in the bowels of the frozen ice caverns of Hoth, our hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, have been frozen upside down to the cave ceiling with nothing to do but talk all things Star Wars. So make yourselves comfortable, but keep a wary eye out for trouble. Here in the Wampa's Lair.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This is episode number 71, the Wampa's Year in Review. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me we have the Captain Rex to my Commander Cody. We have Carl LeClaire.
I love Tyrannosaurus Rex. How'd you know?
that's funny.
Everybody's favorite dinosaur is the Tyrannosaurus Rex, but the cool kids always like the Triceratops.
I was always one for the Apatosaurus, you know.
Yeah, of course, something that nobody has ever heard of. What is that, Jason?
That's the long-necked dinosaur.
The Brachiosaurus?
Littlefoot.
Littlefoot?
Apatosaurus.
Apatosaurus.
Brontosaurus actually exists.
How about a skillosaurus? Get it? Is that a potosaurus? It's a skilletosaurus? it's just a different utensil for the kitchen. This is a Star Wars podcast. Or it's not, yeah. Dinosaurs or kitchen utensils.
No.
So be that as it may. Jason, it's been a month. Far too long.
It has been far too long.
I'm going to put all of the blame on Steve Glosson.
Well, I was going to put all the blame on my finals, but the good news is I got 3 A's and a C out of them, so...
Giddy up!
I'm very pleased.
That's very good. What happened with the C, though? Come on.
It was German.
I'm just kidding, by the way. Yeah, you'll never use that in real world. Spanish, maybe. German, no. We won World War II.
I specifically took German because it wasn't Spanish, though. So
okay.
Which doesn't make much sense because I've grown up in Texas and now living in Arizona, so where Spanish would be much more helpful.
Right. Anywhere in the Southwest, really.
Yes. But, of course, I've always been weird and different and unusual from everybody else, so, you know, it fits.
Yes. Yes. You're like, I'm very good at Gungan. So, anyway, it's good to be back. We're going to talk about what's been going on this year, 2013. There's been more going on in the Wampa's Lair than there has been in Star Wars news.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah.
But before we get to that, we do have a matchup, don't we?
We sure do. It was a good one. I liked this one. It was a battle of feminisms. Women. Ladies. Girls.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to be called.
Dark ladies.
Dark ladies. Yes. Yes. So we had Asajj Ventress versus Lumaya. So we got a couple cool responses, and Mr. Hunt, I reckon you might want to get after this right quick.
Well, yeah, I do right quick. Well, all right, my other Facebook.
Sorry, I'll be quiet.
On Facebook, Zach Williams wrote in, and he said, I'm going to go with Ventress because I know nothing about Lumaya. My EU knowledge doesn't go past the NGO. NJO, not GO, sorry. New Jedi Order. Travis Walker says, Lumia would win hands down. Her knowledge and experience with the Force is better. Her skill with a light whip would beat almost anyone. Christopher Sangnetta. Yeah, baby, ladies of the Sith. Vader trained Lumaya, and she's got a badass Sith whip. Ventress got whooped by Anakin, so I say Lumaya. Also, she's the better pilot and flew with Rogue Squadron. That was when she was a spy. Dun, 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 spy. Anyways, Joey Letson says Ventress, but that's because I have no knowledge of Lumaya since I never really got into the comics. Cool whip, but I will go for Asajj based solely on the fact that she's awesome and closer to G canon. I doubt Lucas knows who Lumaya is, but I know he's familiar with Asajj. Asajj wins based off being more mainstream. Jazz Rathor, a buddy from Norway who shaved his awesome facial hair. He said, I have a bad case of the Obi-Wan Kenobis, a rare affliction that makes the afflicted fall for the hairless harpy known as Asajj. And so we'll go with her. Yes, I know Lumaya is a terrible Sith and adept with the light whip, which gives her a tremendous reach, and was a teacher to Cadus and served as a pilot alongside Luke. Yet, what can I say? Love makes one blind. Asajj is so ferocious and has some Night Sister tricks up her tight sleeve. Brian V. Klein says, I'm going to go with Lumaya. As much as I love Ventress, Lumaya went toe-to-toe with Grandmaster Skywalker for quite a while, which is very impressive. Patrick Kotev, I have not read much about Lumaya yet, but if she can hold her own versus Luke, that deserves my vote. Have a Merry Christmas. We did. Thank you. Kevin Hamlet says Lumaya. That was a repeat. Christopher Sangnetta sent us in another response for Lumaya, so let me just adjust real quick. Okay. But Christopher Sangnetta responded again, and he said, Lumaya, hands down. Trained by Vader, cyborg enhanced, ace pilot who flew with Rogue Squadron and the Sith whip, which basically can't be blocked by a lightsaber unless specially tuned for it. Luke had to build a special saber to fight her in the comics, which he busted out again in Legacy of the Force, one of the few times Luke used two blades at once. And then on Twitter, at Skirata10 says Ventress because I knew nothing of Lumaya. But after adjusting for two responses, that gives us a total of 5 for Lumaya and 4 for Ventress. It's up to us, Carl. We could definitely sway the vote here.
We could. But you know what I find funny? Almost everybody that voted for Ventress doesn't know who Lumaya is. So that's doesn't really count. that's like, well, you know, never heard of Darth Vader. But yeah, Wicket the Ewok would definitely beat him. You know, so what he did to those stormtroopers on Endor. Okay. anyway, I'm just kidding. But I'm definitely giving this to Lumaya, again, for the same reason Brian V. Klein. Brian V. Klein, I feel like we should just dub him like the authority figure of the Wampa's Lair, just because with a name like that, he just sounds so prolific and so wise. Brian V. Klein. But anyway, it's the same reason Brian says is, Lumaya in the Legacy of the Force series, which is as far up as I've ever read, but she kind of messes Grandmaster Luke up. I mean, he wins, but not easily. And that's a lot to be said. Because Grandmaster Luke is debatably one of the most powerful Jedis in the history of the Jedi. I mean, possibly more so than Yoda. So for him to have to really struggle to beat Lumaya, I'm sorry, Ventress just doesn't stand a chance. I don't even think it would be that close. I think Ventress, for me, a lot of our matchups, I think, you know, would be very, very close. Somebody comes out on top just barely. I think Lumaya just utterly destroys Ventress. I like Ventress. I think she's a cool character. And she does a good job against Obi-Wan and Anakin, which is something to be said for that. But that's not, I almost feel like Grandmaster Luke could have taken Obi-Wan and Anakin at that time by himself easily. So the fact that Lumaya is just a force to be reckoned with. So I hands down, it goes to Lumaya. So,
all right. Well, I'm going to be true to myself and go with Ventress here. Ugh. But I've got reasoning. Gosh, Carl. like, we've been gone a month, and you're already ahing me.
Jar Jar would totally take Sidious.
No. Much as I hate to say it, no. But no. Ventress. I think it's very close, but I think Ventress comes out on top. Two reasons. I had two reasons. Now I only have one. Where'd the other one go? Sorry.
With everybody else's votes that didn't know what they were talking about.
And it all comes down to the weapons here. The light whip is very, very difficult to wield. And yes, Lumaya is very skilled at it, but get close enough to her and you can get under the range of that light whip and she's pretty well toast. Two, Luke beats her by bringing out a second saber and fighting her with two sabers. That's how Luke ends up winning. That's how Luke ends up disarming her and sending her running for cover. Ventress has trained with two sabers from the get-go, and she's very skilled with them. And so I think she'd be able to get the light whip tangled up in one saber and get in real quick underneath with the second saber. And since she knows how to use two sabers and she's quick, I think Ventress is going to take it. It'll be very hard fought, and I think Ventress gets out unscathed. But I think just due to the weapons in this case.
You just like her scimitar-bladed lightsabers. That's all you like. You're like, her lightsabers are way cooler than a light whip, okay?
Well, I just don't think the light whip is very practical against lightsabers, honestly. I've never have. Mm. So, yes, she's very skilled with it, and yes, that's, you know, something to be said for her. But I just don't think a light whip is a very practical weapon against lightsabers. So that's all I can say on that.
Cool.
So, that's fine. But that gives us a final tally of 6 for Lumaya and 5 for Ventress. So
the rightful one wins. Honestly, for some reason, I actually really cared about who won this one. I mean, a lot of times I'm just like, whatever, it's fine. Like, it'll be fun. But I was like, that scene when Lumaya fights Luke, and I don't remember which exact novel it is in the Legacy of the Force series, but...
Is it the first one?
I don't think it's the first one. I think it's like the third. I could be wrong. I'm sure somebody's shouting to us right now.
Right.
Mark Herleman is like, I know this, you fools! but, yeah, but anyway, like, that scene, first off, is just an awesome scene, I thought. Like, I thought it was really well written, like, I could actually visualize it. But that scene just, like, I'd never really heard of Lumaya until the Legacy of the Force series. And when she's going toe-to-toe with Grandmaster Luke Skywalker and kind of besting him initially, I'm like, okay, she's pretty powerful. So, you know, Ventress, while she's awesome, I'm just like, nope, doesn't stand a chance. So, but that's okay.
Well, we have another matchup at the end of this show, which is very, very exciting.
I
can't wait to see what everyone else thinks about it. So,
uh-huh.
So, but we have quite a bit to get through before we get there. So why don't we jump into the Star Wars portion of our year in review, the Star Wars news. Not that there was much of it. But basically, on the Episode 7 front, we got a director announced at the beginning of the year, J.J. Abrams. John Williams was confirmed to come back as composer at Celebration Europe 2. There were shakeups in the writing team and a bunch of crew that have either worked on Star Wars or have worked with J.J. Abrams were announced. That's kind of it on Episode 7. So, no casting, but... I have a theory on this, but I want to get your take on the lack of news before I go into my theory on why no casting the big three, you know, has been announced. So, what do you think of the news or lack of news on Episode 7?
I thought it was a little disappointing, to be honest. But again, it's still very early. I mean, it's still 2 years away.
Right.
So I wasn't shocked. I was hoping for a little bit more than what we got. I mean, you know, some people are content with like, hey, we've got a director. It's like, yeah, no duh. You better have a director by now. It's 2 years away. but I mean, well, granted it was a while ago that it was announced, but, yeah, I mean, it was cool. I was really excited. Like we talked about Jason. I mean, obviously we're both very excited that J.J. Abrams is going to be directing it. I was kind of bummed when Michael Arndt dropped out, though, as the writer. Not that I don't like Lawrence Kasdan and Abrams writing it. I think that'll be cool, but I've never seen either of Michael Arndt's films, but just based on reputation, I feel like he would have been a great writer for this movie.
Well, my thing, and I know there's been a lot of speculation that there was, Trouble in Paradise and blah, 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 but my whole idea, and I have a theory about this. Apparently, Michael Arndt was gone back in summer, way before they announced him leaving in October. But my whole theory is he was taking George Lucas's treatments and writing out a detailed story, general script outline based on George Lucas's treatments for the trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
That was my thing. And then that's my idea. And then because he's in demand and apparently makes $300,000 a script that he sends in, he went on to go to do other projects. So J.J. Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan came in to take that outline, flesh it out, adjust things as they need, do dialogue and all that fun stuff. That's my theory. There's nothing to really, prove it.
Oh, I just fixed my headphone for a second. Sorry, I got excited.
Oh, yay.
Sorry, keep going. Sorry.
Okay. Carl's headphone is only working in the left ear, and so he's trying to get the right ear working, and it was sort of, and now not. And yes, so he's working on that. But anyways, yeah, so my theory...
Sorry. I'm always so excited when I can fix something that's broken, like broken hearts.
Oh. But yeah, that's my theory, is that it really isn't as dramatic as the speculation is making it out to be.
I feel like Han Solo right now at Endor. I got it! And then the security door slides closed.
Oh, goodness. But yeah, I think people are looking to make news, drama news about Star Wars because it is the big thing, and there isn't been anything official really announced. So people are trying to make news out of things. So I think things that normally wouldn't be news are becoming news with Star Wars. So
I got it, but I need electric tape. Do you have any electrical tape?
I do, but it's kind of hard to send it through Skype.
Dang it! Skype, you need a new function! That way I could give you hugs at the end of every episode, too. That would be nice.
Yeah. Or, open up the CD tray, put the tape in, and it'll send it to you and pop out your CD tray.
Ooh. Like cookies.
Yes. Oh, that would be...
That would be cool. Anyway, sorry.
So, yeah, what do you think about my theory with the writing debacle?
I'm going to sound like a jerk. I didn't hear all of it because I was busy. Sorry. I'll have to go back and listen after we put this out. I'll let you know in the next episode. I'm just kidding. No, I mean, it makes sense that, he would leave to do something else. But what you brought up that I thought would be curious is if he was working on, George Lucas's treatments, his treatments I don't think would go very far because when he originally wrote those treatments, the Emperor wasn't even supposed to appear till episode 7. Right. And like Leia was not Luke's sister. She was supposed to appear in like episode 7 as well. So, I mean, obviously he could probably work with the material, but perceivably Vader George and the Emperor were still alive up through episodes 8 or 9.
So. As far as I know, George Lucas wrote new treatments, updated treatments.
I didn't know that.
I don't think he's using the original ones from 1977 or whatever, 73, whenever he initially wrote those. I think he's sending in updated ones. So, but that's my suspicion theory that has no actual proof behind it. But honestly, I really don't think there's as much to worry about with Star Wars as people are throwing out there. But very excited about JJ and John Williams being announced coming back.
Yes. John Williams will be great. Yes. I mean, I was excuse me. I was listening to The Empire Strikes Back, just the audio on my drive back from New York yesterday. And again, just the music John Williams' music really sets Star Wars apart.
Oh, yeah.
And this was my thought. Ooh, it just came to me. Remind me at the end of the episode. Actually, this might be big enough for a separate episode, but talking about the scenes in Star Wars that actually don't have music. Because there's very few. There's very few scenes, especially dramatic scenes in the Star Wars films that don't have music. So it might be cool to talk about why not. Why does the scene not have music?
Yeah. I think that'd be something for another episode. Let's save that.
Let's save that.
Coming up with episode ideas on the air. That's us. Because we're a conversation podcast. So we just sort of talk. But anyways, you were saying music, John Williams.
Yeah. I mean, he tells a story with his music. So the fact that he'll be back is fantastic. I think there's a lot of obviously awesome composers out there. Like, I was kind of when we originally didn't think John Williams would be back, you know, there was a good bet that maybe Michael Giacchino would have been there because he's done stuff with Abrams in the past. I love Michael Giacchino, but he's more of a theme writer than he is a story writer, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And even kind of the same is true of Hans Zimmer does a good job with his music telling a story. I take that back. But there's just something very beautiful about the way John Williams composes his music, especially Star Wars music. I mean, he is the sound of Star Wars. He is the music of Star Wars. I mean, you can pop in those soundtracks and hear the story. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was that DVD that came with the Revenge of the Sith soundtrack. I don't remember the name of it, but it was like basically a bunch of the just music videos of throughout the Star Wars saga with, you know, the images from the movies to John Williams' music, and it told the story. With Ian McDiarmid narrating between the pieces, but it was really cool. And somebody screaming at me the name, but whatever. And while John Williams writes a lot of themes, he uses those themes and weaves those themes in and out and changes them up in order to tell the story. And it's really fantastic and really amazing. And nobody, I think, can do it better.
No.
So
I fixed my headphones.
Congratulations.
I did it. You haven't finished with me yet. Chewbacca can. You don't know how to fix the hyperdrive. Chewbacca can do it. I'm standing here in pieces, and you're having delusions of grandeur. You did it.
Okay. Oh, you cracked me.
Worst Anthony Daniels impression ever.
Well, part of that is because you're chewing on a sandwich while doing it.
Don't tell them that.
But let's see, some of the other news that we got in Star Wars this year. Rebels was announced in 2013.
It was. And in light of Rebels being announced, we got a new podcast coming.
Ah, yes.
From Cranky and Cohen.
Yes.
From, Star Wars Report or Star Wars Frontlines.com or
Frontlines, the Clone Wars podcast.
Yeah, that's it.
But yes,
Cohen is shaking his Canadian fist at me right now,
or maybe doing a Canadian face palm.
When Canadians do face palms, it just makes maple leaves.
I don't.
It doesn't even make sense. I know.
I don't know what that means, but it cracks me up. Yes, but that was announced, and then at New York Comic Con, we got a whole bunch of sneak peek news about stuff, primarily design stuff, but then a brand new character coming to the Star Wars universe, the Sith Inquisitor or Imperial Inquisitor. I don't know if he's a Sith. He's an Inquisitor of some sort.
Yeah.
But looks like a cross between an Utapauan and the Sun from Clone Wars.
So. Yeah. He looks really cool.
I can't wait for this show.
The only thing I really want in that show is a decent amount of Vader. I mean, I don't think Vader's going to be a main character, and that's fine. But if we don't get Vader at least a couple episodes per season, I'm going to be really bummed.
Yeah. I think he's going to be one of those things that shows up via hologram a lot of times. And then during something big and dramatic where he has to actually come in and fix things, like the Inquisitor screwed things up one too many times, and then he'll
actually failed me for the last time, Inquisitor.
right. I have a feeling we're going to get that scene somewhere in the show. It looks pretty cool. What we know about it, which isn't very much, like most things this year, we don't know very much except that it's coming. And that they're basing a lot of their designs off of Kenner toys.
Yeah.
From the 70s.
A lot of the designs are also being focused on Ralph McQuarrie's work, which is really cool.
Yeah, which is awesome. So I'm excited about Rebels. I can't wait for that to show up.
It'll be here in less than a year, Jason.
Right. I know. Like August or something.
Yeah.
Or September. It'll be... Wow.
Yeah.
So exciting. And it'll be a whole nother show for me to put on my iPod and then listen to in the car and mimic voices. Because I totally don't do that with Clone Wars.
I hope Jar Jar Binks is in it. Just for Joe Hogan.
Just for Joe Hogan.
Like the very first episode, Misa called Jar Jar Binks. Misa here for Joe Hogan.
I will re-edit the first episode with that in it just for Hogan.
He'll love it.
Fan edits, which I kind of don't like. But anyways, I don't know. Fan edits are... I have complicated feelings on fan edits.
You know what I have complicated feelings on?
What?
Lots of women.
Well then.
Okay, moving on. Move along.
But not all news this year was good news. No. Clone Wars was canceled. The 3D releases were canceled, and 1313 was canceled.
But here's the retribution for 1313. And I didn't really care that 1313 got canceled personally. I know a lot of people are probably like, "What? That looks so amazing!" It did look amazing. I just could care less about a story game. I want something with replayability. Like, that's the things about Force. Like, the Force Unleashed games are phenomenal. They're so fun. They're cool stories. But once you've beaten it, like, you're kind of done. You know what I mean? Like, there's no replayability. So then they were like, well, we're going to do Battlefront 3 instead. Okay, I'll take that over 1313 any day.
Right. You know? We got Battlefront 3, which I'm excited about.
Yeah, I am so pumped about. I just hope it's not just for PS4 or something, because it's like, I don't want to buy that. I have no interest in buying a PS4. I barely play games on my PS3. I mostly use it for like video stuff, you know, like Netflix and Amazon and all that stuff.
Blu-ray,
yeah. So yeah, Battlefront 3 will be awesome. And again, I love games like that because there's usually a story mode, but the replayability of games like that is just immense. And you can get friends together to play it. Like, how awesome would that be too? Because now that you've got like networks and stuff, we could all play like each other, like us podcast people.
That would be awesome.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Except Chris Smith would be like, I don't know which button here to press. Chris, press X. Which one is that? I'm looking at the circle. I'm just kidding. I just made him sound like an idiot. He's not an idiot. Chris, I'm sorry.
You say that, and then he'll be the one at the top of the leaderboard, right?
I know, exactly. He'll be like, Carl, doesn't look like you know where the X is. X did not mark the spot for you there, did it?
Carl was on the latest episode of the Sarlacc Pit podcast, folks, in case you didn't know. So if you want a little more,
awesome.
If you want a little more Carl LeClaire, go check it out.
Or if you want a little Chris Off Ice Planet Smith or Matt Cranky, go check it out. Those guys are just real quick, side quick. I love those guys. I love that show. It's such a great show. The Sarlacc Pit is they have great discussions, and Matt's like constant positivity is so cool. I mean, he is such a California guy. And then you got Chris, just this warm southerner who just makes you feel like you're sipping tea at a fireplace. At least that's how I feel. I don't know. Everybody different.
Oh, real quick before we move on.
Yeah.
I did forget that I had a theory as to why we haven't gotten the big three.
Oh, yeah. Please tell me, because I'm frustrated with that.
And I've had this theory rolling around for several months, and I might have posted it on the Facebook page a while ago, but,
I thought you were just going to say the Facebook.
The Facebook page. Yes, on the Facebook. Especially in light of the fact that they just had this big casting call about a month or so ago, I think what they're doing is that they're waiting to cast all of the, principal and... secondary characters, and then they're going to make a big announcement where they tell everybody that's going to be in it, and they don't want to like string it out, you know, oh, here's three people, here's two people, there's somebody else that's going to be in it, and somebody else over there. They're going to have this big giant here's everybody for you announcement. And that plus the fact that Abrams and Kasdan are pushing to have the script finalized in January, which probably means Harrison Ford wants to see it before he signs for sure on the dotted line. Mm-hmm. Which is not an unusual thing for actors to want to do. Most people probably would want to wait and see the script before they, for certain, sign. So that's, I'd say, late January, early February would be my hypothesis as to when we're going to get a big, giant announcement with everybody.
Yeah.
Right before they start filming.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense, though. You know, why would actors sign on to something they know nothing about? I feel like Mark Hamill would easily be in no matter what, but you're definitely right with like Harrison Ford specifically. So because when I was on the Sarlacc Pit there for their last episode, Chris was saying that he feels like Harrison Ford is the only one who's dragging his feet. And I don't think he's opposed to being in it. I think he's actually very open to being in it, and that you can see that in the way he's dealt with people asking him about it, like on talk shows and stuff. His kind of coy humor about it tells me that he's definitely interested. He's been approached, and he's definitely open to being in it. But maybe he does. I mean, he's made it clear that he wants to see, which is funny because originally he wanted to see Han Solo die. But I think he wants to see Harris or Han Solo's character to be developed just a little bit more, not necessarily survive all three, maybe die in eight.
That's my thing. I think that's where he has to die, somewhere in the middle of eight.
Yeah.
So. But anyway, yeah. You were saying.
That was pretty much it. So,
but yeah, I think that's it. They're waiting. You know, actors are waiting for the script to be finalized before they sign for real. I mean, they've already sort of done the handshake. Yeah, we're going to be part of it, just contingent on the script. So, but before they make anything official,
So, that makes
sense. Was there any other big Star Wars news that I missed that you want to bring up?
No, that'll do it.
Yeah, that's kind of it. There wasn't a lot of Star Wars news.
There really wasn't this year.
Okay, so needless to say, 2013, not a lot of news. I think we're going to get quite a bit in 2014. Maybe not necessarily on, Episode 7. I think we'll get a whole crap ton of information on Episode 7 starting January 2015, and then Celebration Anaheim. We'll get like the first big trailer then, but or maybe the teaser, because it is 8 months before,
right?
So I don't think we're gonna get a ton of Episode 7 news in 2014 other than like casting and where they're shooting and stuff like that. But that's my hypothesis.
Yeah, I could see us getting a possible teaser trailer at the end of 2014.
Possibly.
But I will definitely wager my Millennium Falcon that we get Episode 7 in 2015. I'm willing to bet that.
Well, they do have a confirmed date. That's the only other big news.
Yeah, that's big. Yeah.
Was that it's going to be December 18, 2015.
Yeah. Now, real quick, you said something that I've noticed a lot of people have been saying, Celebration Anaheim. Why didn't we call it Celebration Orlando? So here's what I'm doing. I refuse to call it Celebration Anaheim because it's Celebration 7. I'm calling it C7.
Okay. I'm totally fine with calling it C7. It's just
if somebody asks me about Celebration Anaheim on any of the shows or something, be like, I don't even know what that is. I'm just going to be a punk about it. Be like, I know what C7 is. That's something that's real. Oh, you mean C3, a.k.a. Celebration Indianapolis? Like, no. I don't think you're calling it that. So, I don't know. Why does Anaheim get, like, why does it get... Now, if it was Celebration Boston, I'd be all about that. But we'll never get a celebration in Boston. So.
I don't ask me. I don't know why they changed it. They just did. But anyways. But yeah. So... As you alluded to earlier, we've had a lot more happenings here in the Wampa's Lair than Star Wars has had in general. So, Carl is having fun in the camera, and it's amusing me, so I got distracted, and now he's cracked himself up. but, well, first of all, I think one of the big things was at the beginning of the year, our term Larians was developed. And so you guys became Larians rather than listeners. So I thought that was cool.
I did too. I think we kind of stole that idea from Beyond the Films, because they called their guys the Beyonders, right?
Right, right. And I was like, oh, that's a cool idea. We should come up with something. And then
we should do a matchup, Beyonders versus Larians. I think we know who would win that.
Yes. We gotta get Mark and Nathan in on that and let them know and see what they think. that would be awesome. Have an epic two-part battle. One here, one there.
Yeah.
Cool. Although... Yeah. They have.
They're definitely winning the listener battle.
Right, right.
So, Larians, unite. Get us up to at least 300 likes on Facebook. We'll at least be within 1,000 of them then. Jeez. God, they're like blowing us away. But then again, they do put out an episode like every week. So,
right.
Their consistency blows ours away. So,
yeah.
They win that battle.
Yes.
They shan't win the war. Just kidding. There is no war. We are brothers. We love
you. Yes, we are brother podcasts. Let's see.
We're some brothers.
Oh, boy. But they're definitely the big brother.
Yes, indeed they are.
But what kind of other news did you have? Highlights of the Wampa's Lair 2013.
If you open your eyes really wide for a long time, they start to water. Ooh.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, it's a good way to pretend you're crying. But officer, I didn't know. That sounds weird. Sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought one of the really fun things that all right, Jason's doing the awkward turtle for me. I thought one of the most exciting things we did this year was our audio commentaries. I had a great time doing that. We did that with Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah,
and that was awesome. I had a that was just so great. And that was all in build up for our Why We Love the Prequels episode with Joe Hogan.
Yes, which was epic.
Oh, so epic. I mean, it was so much fun. And it gave, while we were preparing for that, Jason, I mean, the reason we did the commentaries is we wanted to rewatch the prequels ourselves. And, you know, remember we watched Phantom Menace just texting through it, which was also really fun and romantic. And moving on. But, like, then we watched Attack of the Clones together, Revenge of the Sith. And it really gave me a whole new appreciation for the prequels. And actually made me kind of fall in love with them all over again.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, it was so happy. It was really fun. And then... what else was there's one of another thing I wanted to mention. Oh yeah, Joe. Since we're talking about Joe Hogan, that amazing art piece he just did for us a couple months ago for our 2 year anniversary, where you're in Jedi robes and I'm in Han Solo's outfit.
Yes.
I mean, Joe does such awesome artwork. We're definitely gonna be hitting him up for a couple more things in 2014. So Joe, Joe, get ready.
I'm actually in the process of working with him on commissioning a personal piece for me.
Ooh. Excellent.
Yes.
Joe Hogan said he wouldn't do anything personal for me, so I guess I know who he likes more. I'm just kidding.
I'm paying.
I just asked Joe to draw a picture of himself in Slave Leia's outfit. He wouldn't do it.
Well, I think I can understand that one.
go ahead.
But some of the other things that happened for us here in 2013 was we hit 50.
Yeah.
Oh.
50 what? Episode 50. Oh, episodes,
was,
yeah.
Episode 50 back in April, so that was pretty cool.
Mm.
And we went over 70 here at the end of the year. We didn't quite hit 75, but that was finals and other...
I was so busy with work, too, yeah.
It was so busy at the end of the year, although we do kind of slow down... Towards the end of the year, last year we had like a month,
right,
or so where we didn't put anything out. So, but yeah, no, it's good. It's been good. We've hit a couple of milestones, and actually, this episode ties us with the amount of episodes the Sarlacc Pit has released.
Yeah,
so exactly. We're pretty consistent. We're working through those milestone numbers.
Yeah,
and so we should hit 75 and 100 next year.
Yeah,
so.
We also had our first female guest, only female guest, Teresa Delgado.
Right, well, that Bethany, you're on the list.
I know Bethany Blanton keeps turning us down. Her PR person, she's so tough to get in touch with. Gosh, I mean, Riley's her PR person, and Riley's easy to get a hold of, but he keeps Bethany pretty protected, so she's tough to get to. Got to get by Riley and that amazing smile. So,
and there's Riley's facepalm moment in the episode.
Yeah, well, his facepalm just turns into smiles. So,
oh goodness, oh man.
So anyway,
We also hit 2 years of podcasting this year. Ooh, in 2013, back in October.
Isn't that crazy? So that was cool.
We've been doing this for over 2 years now, Carl.
I know it.
At the same time, it feels like it's been longer and yet shorter than that, all at the same time. It's
right.
So weird.
Right. Yeah. This is the only thing I've done consistently for 2 years, besides go to church, pray. Things like that, but
yeah,
put my pants on.
Yeah, hopefully that would be a good thing to do consistently, like every day.
Yeah, good point.
And one other big thing that we did this year was we recorded our first ever non-Star Wars related episode of the Wampus Lair podcast, our Dark Knight of Steel episode, which is apparently quite a hit. So,
yeah.
I had a ton of fun with that episode. So, and I keep wanting to get Carl to talk about things like The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings or Doctor Who, and he just sort of looks at me like, you're crazy, right? To which I say, yes, but do you still want to record?
Yeah, sorry. Can't help you there. I don't really care for any of those franchises. I like Lord of the Rings, but I have no interest in seeing The Hobbit. One of my friends put up a status like when the new one came out, and he said that was a great 90-minute movie wrapped in however long it was, which is true. They're so damn long. Shorten them. I don't want to sit there for a 2.5-hour movie with
horrible
exposition and lots of fake-looking CGI. So
Smaug is the most incredible thing to come out of a computer ever. Smaug the dragon.
Oh.
So,
yeah,
even more incredible than anything else that's been in a Star Wars movie this far. I can say that. So, and Star Wars is pretty amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I was gonna say that the episode though we did do that the Dark Knight of Steel episode was a lot of fun.
Yes,
and which I may be starting a nice little. You know, I did my first couple of Carl's Corners this year. those may or may not continue, but I am really thinking about doing Carl's Batcave, where I'll start just recording every now and then little thoughts on the Dark Knight trilogy, because I was raving about that trilogy on our last episode of Quiz with Steve Glosson. And,
what does Quiz stand for?
I know what I'm saying.
There you go.
But seriously, if I hadn't grown up with Star Wars, I think that the Dark Knight trilogy would easily be my favorite trilogy in movie history. I definitely like the Dark Knight trilogy more than the prequel trilogy by a lot. So I know. I'm getting Steve and I have both said when we record Quiz, we tend to be a little bit more honest than we are on our other shows. So I'd like to bring some more honesty to this.
That's fine. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean it's not a bash. It's not like I'm not saying I hate the prequels, because I don't. I just think the Dark Knight trilogy is a million times better than the prequels. So maybe not a million. Definitely 100 times better, though.
One of the interesting things that's happened to me this year... sorry, did I interrupt you?
No.
Do you have any more thoughts on that?
No.
So, well, one of the... and I've sort of kind of started coming into grips with this past month or so, but one of the interesting things happened this year is that, you know, I've been for so long fighting in defense of the prequels and, you know, saying that they're actually good and all that fun stuff, and we, you know, that all culminated with our Why We Love the Prequels episode. But now that Star Wars is moving farther back in the timeline and, you know, focusing more on the rebellion and then episode 7 and all that fun stuff, I've had to like sort of pull myself back and say, okay, no, it's all right. It's all right to focus on other things and not get so wrapped up in the prequels and assume that just because people are excited that we're moving back into those time periods that they hate the prequels, which is untrue. But sometimes that's a knee-jerk reaction when people are like, I'm just so excited that we're finally moving back into Darth Vader and all this fun stuff. And I'm like, oh, come on. What about the prequels? You know, I've kind of had to come to grips and terms with that. And so it's been kind of interesting and weird, but I think I'm I think I'm okay with it now. Yeah. So,
well, it's been almost 15 straight years of prequel era stuff. If you think about it, because in 99, yeah. when Phantom Menace came out, up until really last year, it's been nothing but prequel stuff. Yeah. So I don't think it's even, I mean, myself, like I'm definitely, I prefer the OT. I'll always be an OT guy. It's more of just an overexcitement that we're returning to these stages that we haven't touched in a long time. I think that's why people are so excited. It's not a rejection of the prequels. It's just simply, yes, I want to explore the, you know, this huge gap between 3 and 4. Like, that'll be great. There's right. a lot to do there. This is great. We're going to get films after episode 6. I thought that was the end of the story. I guess not. Like, where are we going to go now?
Right.
So,
and it's just one of those things where I know there's a bit of tension out there. Over this, you know, there's some very strong-minded prequel lovers like me who are, you know, a bit scared. I think that their love of the prequels is just going to get lost now, and so it's going to be interesting to see what all happens. And I think that Rebels is probably going to have a few more prequel nods than people think. And so it'll be a nice little transition, obviously more geared towards OT stuff, just simply because it's 14 years after Revenge of the Sith. But I think there's going to be some tying up of prequel questions in Rebels that never really got explained before. I'm fighting really hard to keep a straight face here, Carl.
I got a nose tickle.
and he's itching it in very amusing ways. but yeah, so I think what we just need to
sorry.
Stop it.
Okay. Sorry.
I just think what needs to happen out there for all the prequel lovers out there like me is that we need to just be okay with this. It's not a rejection, like Carl said. It's not a rejection. It's just another direction. So,
is it One Direction?
I hope not.
Learn to dance, boys.
I hope not.
Boy bands used to have real talent. So, anyway,
that stopped with NSYNC and Backstreet Boys.
It did. Sure did. Yeah. You're right, buddy. You are so right.
Not that I have any actual experience with anything else, ever, or even them, really. But I know that for sure.
Well, maybe in episode 7 we'll get a boy band.
Stop it. Stop it. Hope so. No.
That'd be great.
No. We'll have holograms of the Max Rebo band.
Oh, yay.
On a resurrection tour or something, since they all died on the sail barge. So it'll be a resurrection
tour. They're like, no, we're not doing the resurrection of Palpatine Dark Empire skit. We're resurrecting Max Rebo.
Yes. Holograms of their greatest hits.
Yeah.
yes. Now I want to see that.
So anyway, any other things you want to bring up from our year?
Not from our year specifically. I think, yeah. You know, it's been a pretty cool year. I can't pick a favorite episode, though.
I can't.
That we recorded.
This
you
one.
Can or can't?
This one. Just kidding. I don't know. Yeah, I can't either.
Recording at the time.
I think. I had a really good time doing the Han Solo episode, even though we ended up doing it twice. But didn't realize that. But I don't know. And also obviously the Why We Love the Prequels episode was really good with Joe Hogan. So, actually, I will say I think the most fun I've had recording in a podcast this year was when we did the Attack of the Clones commentary. Just because I. It was just so fun, and it was spontaneous. It was like, let's do this. So okay. It was just like an afternoon. Neither of us had anything going on. We just sat down and watched Attack of the Clones. I felt like I was watching it with you, so it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I think that was the most fun. It wasn't necessarily like the best episode we've done this year necessarily, but it was the most fun I had this year recording an episode.
It's true. So. It's true. The whole story of that is we had just watched Phantom Menace texting each other the whole time, and then we called each other right after the movie was done. It was
did you believe that?
That was awesome.
That was so good. Wasn't that wizard?
That was great. But then it was like, we should like maybe open up Skype and watch it together next time so we can actually just talk to each other. And it was like, well, why don't we record it and make it a commentary? Okay, that sounds good. tomorrow afternoon work for you? Yeah. Okay, sweet.
Yeah, exactly. And exactly. So. And it was glorious.
It was. And then we planned for episode 66, of course, to be our Revenge of the Sith one. So we will get to the rest of the four other films there doing commentaries. But we don't know what order we're going to do that in yet. But that was a weird yawn.
Yeah.
Sounded like a bird or a cat or my dog.
Take your pick.
One of those. But yeah, so you had an idea of a little discussion topic that you wanted to bring up from when you were on the Sarlacc pit just a week or so ago, right?
Yeah. I actually wasn't from the last episode. I mentioned it briefly to them on there. So on the Sarlacc pit, they've been doing this new segment called nice, Jason. He's getting me back now with his faces. They do this segment called oh darn it, it's slipping. I can like hear the song, I just can't hear the words.
Things that make you go hmm.
Oh yeah, things that make you go hmm. So basically Matt and Chris just talk go,
hmm.
Yeah,
things that make you go hmm.
Sorry. Things that make you go hmm. Matt Cranky is the best. but cool little hat there, Jason. Is that a woman's hat?
No, that's
oh sorry, now I sound like a jerk. Oh my God. Jason has a Jar Jar Binks hat, Joe Hogan.
A Jar Jar Binks beanie. Oh. I've had it since 1999.
God. Isn't there anybody at Goodwill that could use a good winter hat, Jason? Come on. Actually, no. Why don't you keep it?
Yes, I am.
The homeless deserve to be cool.
Implying that I am not.
No,
right?
I'm not. You are cool, but that hat's not.
I'd make that hat cool.
Yeah, I know. So. You do. I believe that. I'm just kidding.
Anyways.
Things that make you go, hmm. They've been doing that in the Sarlacc pit, and they just bring up really cool ideas about, these guys have obviously been watching the films for a long time, just things they speculate on. Again, since we've kind of copied a lot of what Sarlacc pit has done in the past, I was like, oh, man, I want to do something like this and just call it things that make you wonder. But I was like, no, it's just too similar. But Cranky brought up on two episodes ago, I think it was two episodes ago, the idea of whether or not Darth Vader ever really turned to the Sith. And when Matt first said that, just said it like that, did Darth Vader ever turn to the Sith? I'm like, yeah, definitely. Did you see Revenge of the Sith? He killed younglings. Like, he's definitely evil. But then Matt's argument was essentially like, Anakin did this for Padme. So essentially, he's almost like addicted to the dark side as opposed to buying into the dark side, which I thought was a really cool idea. Thinking about Anakin in the sense of kind of an addict, and he is. He's addicted to Padme. He's addicted to this relationship, and he'll do anything it takes to preserve it. Be it killing younglings, be it turning to the dark side. So I don't know. I don't have a definitive answer of yes or no. He did or did not turn to the dark side. I still lean towards yeah, he did. But I think initially it's not like he's adopting that philosophy because he's in love with the Sith Order. I think he's simply using it as a stepping stone to save Padme. And I just thought that was a really cool idea that Anakin isn't necessarily like. And when he in the scene in Revenge of the Sith when he swears his allegiance to Palpatine, it's not like, yeah, I'm doing this because I think this is the right way. He ends it by saying, just help me save Padme's life. That's right. All he's doing this really for initially. But again, our actions tell us, who we become. So I think in a way, Anakin has become a dark side user. But that's important to say. He's a dark side user as opposed to like a full-on Sith. Using it like an addict uses a drug to make themselves feel better. Anakin's using this to get something out of it. I don't know. I just thought that was a really cool point.
It is a cool point, and I'm going to go along with it and say that initially he was just a dark side addict who became a dark side user, but you use it long enough and you're going to become a Sith.
Yep.
Which, by the time we get to the OT, he's full-on Sith.
Yeah. I totally agree with that.
And I think the death of Padme accelerated that, and once he no longer had her to live for, it was like, well, there's this Sith thing, so might as well join up with that and have something.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, maybe not at the exact point at the end of Revenge of the Sith, but shortly thereafter, he embraced the Sith just out of necessity and loyalty to Palpatine, because that's all he had left.
Yeah.
So, but initially, I would agree. It was an addict choosing it in order to save his wife, and using it in order to save his wife. So,
exactly. So I thought that was a really cool point that they brought up. So,
yeah. That's a really cool idea. It is a great point. So I'm glad Matt brought it up and you brought it up here. So,
yeah. Now you had a point you wanted to bring up as well.
Yeah. Right before we decided to start recording, we had a tweet this morning from somebody who wanted to get our opinion on what order of the films, we should watch the films or show someone who hasn't seen the films, the order, you know, so. You guys know what I'm talking about, but yes. That was really complicated with our way of saying it.
I'm going to let you.
What order should you show someone the Star Wars films? There you go.
There you go, Jason. I'm going to let you begin this, because I think I know which order you would do it, but I want to hear it from you.
Yeah. This is something where I've in the past been very strong, you know, you should do it chronologically, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But then a couple months ago, I sat back and I was like, well, I didn't see it in that order, you know, obviously because, you know, I watched the special edition first and they came out before the prequels did. So now I'm not 100% sure. I know there's this 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 6. That's been floating out there, and I haven't actually. The problem with me watching it that way is because I know what everything's going to happen, and I can already chop it up in that order in my head, but I don't know what kind of impact it would have for people that haven't seen it before. So I can't really comment on that order. And honestly, I like that idea, and I don't like that idea. I like that idea because it sort of integrates the saga as a whole into one big story, which is something I'm a big proponent of. But then it also splits up the character arc that we get from Luke in the original trilogy, which is very big and very important. And then, of course, you leave Han and Carbonite for, you know, a whole ton of movies, too. So, I like it and I don't like it. And at this point, I don't really know what order I would do. You know, it would depend, I think, on who I'm showing it to. Most people nowadays, and I did this over the summer with a friend at work. She hadn't seen any of the movies, so I loaned them to her. But she knew the big reveal from Empire Strikes Back. She knew I am your father. I think she knew that Luke and Leia were siblings. You know, she knew a lot of stuff. She just hadn't seen the movies. So I was like, okay, well, I'll just give these to you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And she liked them. Mm-hmm. And her favorite character was Jar Jar because he had big floppy ears like her Basset Hound. So that was the reasoning. She liked the movies. She thought they were good. I didn't get a chance to really sit down and talk to her about them, but she liked them. She was glad she saw them.
Do you really need to sit down and talk to her about what she thought about them if she thought Jar Jar was the best character?
At least in the prequels. So, oh,
all right. That's good.
I don't remember.
But still, no, that's good. How's that good? Did she see Palpatine? Did she see Obi-Wan? Did she fast forward to the Jar Jar scenes?
She loves her Basset Hound so much. That's the reason. And he reminded her of her Basset Hound, and
gotcha.
So that's why.
Okay.
So that's what I did. You know, if it's someone who knows a lot of the big stuff from the original trilogy, just because they've been out in pop culture for so long, I'd say you could get away with showing them in whatever order you wanted. I mean, it doesn't really matter. I'd, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You know, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 6. You know, whatever. But for someone who's just getting into Star Wars and has no exposure, like your kids or something, I might say do what I did and do it 4-5-6-1-2-3 and then 4-5-6. You know, start off with the OT and then run them all through together.
Yeah.
So
I think it depends on who I'd be showing it to. The only people I've ever showed them to that have never seen them are people that are big into like literature and they're kind of like snobby film buffs. And I knew they wouldn't like the prequels. So I started 4-5-6, and then if we got around to it, 1-2-3. And the one person at least did not like 1-2, and well, they liked 3, but they didn't like 1-2. As for me, like when I have kids someday, if I have kids someday, starting them young, if I was like showing them to the first time and they were like 6 or 7, I would probably do 1-6 because 1, 2, and 3 are going to be very accessible to young kids. Mm-hmm. And they'll love 4, 5, and 6 as well, I think. But 1, 2, and 3 is, but if I was showing it to, like whenever I show it to a buddy of mine has never seen Star Wars. He's my age. He is very open-minded, but I'm going to show him 4, 5, and 6 first. And if he enjoys them, I'll go back to 1, 2, and 3. Because he's not a big fan of sci-fi and fantasy in general. And I would kind of lump Star Wars into sci-fi and fantasy.
It's more of a, yeah. It's a
fantasy science. And space.
Yeah, it's a, yeah. Yeah. Space fantasy.
Exactly.
So
I feel like if he likes 4, 5, and 6, then I'll do 1, 2, and 3. But I feel like if I showed him 1, 2, and 3, he might be like, oh my gosh, I don't like these at all, and wouldn't, then he would miss out on the OT, which would suck. So, Jason, quick question, because I don't actually know. I just thought of this. Do you prefer the prequels to the originals?
It's complicated because my favorite movie of all of them is Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, thank you for putting that picture up and marking that it was you who said that.
You're like,
not me.
I know. But my favorite of all of them is Return of the Jedi. But it's become even more my favorite after watching the prequels because it's, you know, wraps up everything and the good guys ultimately win. So, but like I said, you know, a while back, and it's been made fun of, you know, for quite a while, is that personally, I like 1, 2, and 3 more than 4 and 5. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of all lumped together. Star Wars as a franchise is my favorite movie. Period. No questions asked. That, you know, more than anything else is my favorite movie. A New Hope is my least favorite of the Star Wars movies, but it's definitely above anything else that's not Star Wars. So, honestly, I have to say probably, other than Return of the Jedi, my favorite is probably whichever one I'm watching. So, but Attack of the Clones does get a lot of play on my DVD player. So, because of that epic arena battle. So, it's kind of weird. I can't say I like the OT better than the PT or the PT better than the OT because it's all muddled up in the order anyways. Mm-hmm. So,
that's fair. I was just curious because
I'm a PT defender because I think I like them as much as the OT.
Okay.
So,
yeah, that's fair. Yeah. See, like I like the PT, but not nearly as much as the OT.
Right.
So, but I think that's obvious.
Yeah. You've said that quite a bit,
yeah.
So, which I can understand, but don't agree with.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh.
All right. Cool. So,
was there anything else we wanted to discuss before we started to wrap this episode up?
I don't think so. I think that was it.
Needless to say, I think 2014 is going to be a much more stable year for Star Wars news. And the fact that it's not all going to be, you know, good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. New movies, no more Clone Wars, you know, yeah. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to have a lot more good news, a lot more information as to who's cast and where they're filming sort of thing with Episode 7. Plus, we'll get Rebels starting second half of the year. So that'll be exciting. And hopefully some news about the standalone movies that are supposed to come out between the 7, 8, and 9.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to that. I just, you know, wish more things were happening. although it's kind of been nice to have a little bit of a lull in the Star Wars news because I've been able to really delve into Doctor Who, my favorite TV show now. So, but once Star Wars starts getting revved back up, you can bet your britches I'll be all over it.
Oh man, I was yawning, but I wanted to laugh because you said bet your britches.
Oh. I know that wasn't an actual saying, but it kind of came out and I liked it.
So I like it. I like it.
It's like when I always...
I like it a lot.
Lee said, I marched to the beat of my own horn. and then realized that it was actually very fitting for me.
Yes, so, yes indeed.
Do you have anything else before we start wrapping this up and introduce our next matchup?
I think what I'm looking forward to in 2014 is just getting the big three confirmed. And I would love, even if it's late 2014, I would love a teaser trailer. I think that'd be really cool. And I'm a spoiler. I'm all about reading spoilers, so I'll read anything and everything that comes out. Do you? Will you read spoilers?
I don't go hunting for them. Okay. If they sort of run across me, I'm weird because if it's a certain level of spoiler, I don't mind. But if it's like big, like this is the plot of the movie, here's the leaked script sort of thing, I will stay away from that like the plague.
Really?
Yes.
I remember I read the script to Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith before I saw them when they were leaked. I couldn't help myself. And I know I will probably do the same for Episode 7.
So. I had a friend who had a bootleg of Revenge of the Sith the week before it came out.
Really?
And he on his computer, and he showed me the duel between the Jedi and Palpatine. And I was kind of bummed that I saw that before I actually saw the whole movie. So if it's like, you know, this character will be making a cameo appearance, you know, sort of thing, I don't mind that.
Yeah.
But if it's like big plot points or...
The Millennium Falcon goes down in a blaze of glory. Han Solo's dead.
Right. Right. Things like that, I would rather not know. Okay. I won't go hunting for them if they run if I run across them in some
if I tell you on the episode, Jason, guess what I read today? Don't worry, it's just from Latino Review. You don't have to actually take it seriously.
Right. But if it's like, you know, I'll start reading it and I'll like read the first paragraph and then decide if I want to keep going.
Gotcha.
So that's what usually happens. I'm selective. I'm a selective spoiler. But yeah, so that's cool. Shall we introduce our next matchup before we leave here?
Yes.
This is from our buddy Jackson, who emailed this suggestion to us. Do you want to announce what it is, Carl? Mm-hmm.
Yep, I do.
Okay, well, you go ahead.
This is a good one. It is Anakin Skywalker versus Luke Skywalker. So Anakin, before he falls to Darth Vader. Now, we should talk about this because I know the question will come up if we don't. Are we talking Luke, Grandmaster Luke, or are we talking like Luke up through Episode 6? Because that'll be a huge difference, I think.
Yeah.
Why don't we say Episode 3 Anakin versus Episode 6 Luke?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense. We will. I will make sure that is repeated in all of our. Promotional material for this is that Episode 3
promotional material
our matchups on Facebook and Twitter. So Episode 3 Anakin Skywalker versus Episode 6 Luke Skywalker. I like it.
I do too. I'm really excited to see what people say.
Me too. I think this will be close. If people want to respond to that matchup or any of our discussions here, where can they do that, Carl?
Online, duh.
Online? Okay. One of those places online, because online is a big place.
It is. It's like a big sandbox. Everybody can play. Obviously, Facebook, facebook.com/WampusLairPodcast, twitter.com/WampusLair, and you can email us at WampusLairPodcast@gmail.com. I would love to get some more likes on Facebook. We haven't gotten any in almost a month. Makes sense, considering we haven't done an episode in over a month.
Right.
But you know, if you are, I have a feeling that everybody who listens to us, or everybody that's liked us on Facebook, listens to us. But I feel like hopefully there's other Larians out there that have not liked us yet that'll help us out with a like. I'd love to get up to 300 by the end of January, if possible. I mean, that's 28 more likes. So, Joe Hogan helped us out a bunch like a month ago.
Yeah.
When he shared about our 2-year anniversary, a bunch of his friends liked us, which was huge. So,
yeah,
if you have friends that are Star Wars fans, spread the word. So, unless you don't like our show, but that would be silly. Why would you listen to us?
Right. And don't forget to leave us a rating or review on iTunes, folks.
Yes.
So that would be most appreciated. But I think that about wraps up this episode. What do you say, Carl?
I believe it does.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for coming back one more time in 2013 to the Wampa's Lair podcast. This has been episode number 71, the Wampa Year in Review. I am Jason, and for Carl, we will see you in 2014 here in the Wampa's Lair.